We are continuing on the Romans road. As I shared, next week we will be having the firemen here, and as we have a number of times this year, we'll do a detour, but we're still on track this morning. The title of our message is, Now is the Time. Is it me time or knee time? Now, I can't take credit for the title completely. I was sharing with Carol in the beginning of the week some of the hymns and the theme of the message, and I was talking about the me time and in our culture, which will be in our message in a little while, and Carol said, oh, it sounds like we need some more knee time, and I was like, that's good. So if you have a conversation with me, your words might end up in a title message. So just a little warning there. Our scripture passage is found in Romans chapter 13. We'll be starting at verse 8, and that's found on page 1206 in your pew Bibles. We'll be reading through verse 14. Hear now the word of God. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake up from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies or drunkenness or in sexual immorality or sensuality, not in quarreling or jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Let's pause for a quick word of prayer. Father, just as we have no ability to be humble on our own, just as we have no ability to be a servant on our own, without your Holy Spirit's involvement, we will not understand your holy, written, inspired word. And so now, Lord, we seek you. We covet your Spirit, the teacher, the helper, the one who opens our eyes, opens our hearts, allows us to see you and to know you. So, Lord, in the next few minutes, as your word is proclaimed, may we be empty vessels ready to be filled by you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When Pastor Brian, and basically what he was trying to say is, when we read God's word, we want to put it in light of God's total word. We're not just taking a snippet here or a snippet there. There's the old fun story where when I was in seminary, somebody would say that the way they would do a Bible study is they would say, God, what do you have for me today? And then they would read it. And then they would read it. And the story goes like this, and my guess is it's a made-up story, but who knows? The Lord has plenty sense of humor, and he does things. An individual went like that, and it said, Judas went out and hung himself. Okay, Lord, what is that supposed to mean? I guess I'm going to look for something different. Go thou and do likewise. Oh, well, I must be doing this all wrong. Let's do this one more time. Thou knowest what must do. Do not hesitate. Do it quickly. That is not the way that we study God's word. We look at God's word and we want to understand God's word in the light of God's total word. Last week, we talked about being subject to our earthly authorities. Last week, the message was knowing that, first of all, God has set up authorities for our well-being. Parents at home, police officers on the street, presidents in the White House, world powers, that God has set them up, and we are to be obedient to them. Now, there is a time when we should not be, and that is whenever we are required by them to do something that goes against God's commands, then we not only have the right, but we ought to listen to the higher authority. And so if a parent asks a child to lie, that child should say, "No, mommy or daddy, that's wrong. I can't do that." They may bear the consequences, but they are being obedient to God. Well, in last week's message, it ended with, "Owe nobody anything. To whom is owed respect, give them respect. To whom owed is honor, give them honor. To whom owed taxes, give them the taxes. Revenue, give revenue." And the passage last week that we looked at and the week before had that whole idea of the reason we do this is to be Christ-like, because our heart's desire, because of the mercy shown to us in God, is that they may experience Jesus Christ and they may come to know the saving work of our Lord and Savior. That is the purpose. Two Sundays ago, we talked about how, you know, loving those who persecute us is like heaping burning coals upon their head. Scripture. And the idea there was to purify them, not to hurt them. It wasn't a Christian's way of getting even. It was a Christian's way of hopefully, by God's grace, leading them into a saving walk with Jesus Christ. And so last week, this whole idea of owe nobody anything. Give to them. Do what is appropriate. The honor to the honor. The respect to the respect. And in this passage, owe nobody anything except love. Except love. Paul just went through this whole nice introduction with a point behind it. Bring people to the cross. Bring people to Jesus. Change people's lives by how you touch them. Purify them with the coals, the heat of your faith, of the Holy Spirit. Change their lives. Owe nobody anything except for love. Now I have to tell you, the world we live in, love is not possible because we are sinful and fallen. We think we know what love is, and we do not. Love is not roses that a boyfriend gives to a girlfriend most of the time. Why? Because most of the time there's an ulterior motive for those roses. What do I get in return? Asking somebody out on a date is not usually love. It's self-love, because the individual really is looking what they're going to get from it, not what they're going to put into it. We live in a world right now that, hey, it is self-centered. We constantly hear the word humanism. The world we live in right now is a humanistic world. Whether somebody places some sort of God, do what you think is right, and supposedly or not, it's, well, you do what you think is right, and I'll do what I think is right. Well, that sounds like the book of Judges. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That was what was going on in Israel, and Israel was brought to ruin. Israel was destroyed by the Assyrians and the Babylonians. Israel was destroyed. They were taken into captivity and obliterated. God restored them, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You listen to the TV right now and listen to people and, well, you think what you want and I'll think what I want, and as long as what you say is not hurting me and as long as what I'm saying is not hurting you, it's okay. No, it's not okay. There is right and there is wrong. Love is you want the best for someone else. A child, well, if a child wants to run out and into the street, physically, it's not going to hurt me. It's going to hurt them. But if I love that child, I am going to do everything I can to train them and teach them and grab a hold of them when I see that happen. If your grandchildren or your child or your brother or your sister was eating food in such a way that was unhealthy, Not even somebody who's diabetic, who's got to watch their sugar, but the average individual, they're eating things that are not healthy. Well, it's not hurting you, is it? It might hurt your heart a little bit, but physically, is it hurting you? No. That's their life. As long as what they do doesn't hurt me, and that's the world, that's the value system of our world. Do you really love them then? That's not love. That's self-love. If I can get away with what I want to do and they can get away with what they want to do, we're all good, right? That is not God's word. That is not God's plan. That is not who you and I are called to be. But that's what culture, schools, colleges, your thing, I'll do my thing. The world around us, society is teaching. You do your thing, I'll do my thing, and we'll be okay. Where is this whole idea of salt and light? Where is this whole idea of entering into society and changing it? Where is this whole idea of we are to be God's hands and feet in this world? Well, I go to church, yeah. But who are you going to church for? Is it for you? That's not loving your neighbor. Paul starts off and says, owe nobody anything. Pay your dues. Do whatever it takes. Give honor and respect and taxes and revenue to all those that you owe, because you, as believers in Christ, need to be the best citizen you can be, the best neighbor you can be, the best employee you can be, and if you're going to owe somebody something, owe them love. And then he talks about the Old Testament for a moment. Jesus quotes the Old Testament. Some of the commandments: don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal. At the breakfast table, I shared with my family, and Jim shared with me this weekend as we were away, and I will present this to you real quick as a burden for you to pray for. Our sister church in Montgomery, there's a family where they're a young daughter, 20 years old, was babysitting. There's a home invasion. We don't know much of the facts, but the home invasion, and she was shot and killed. Don't murder. Love. Love. So there's a prayer concern. There's a family right now that this weekend there was a funeral, and talk about heartbreak. And Jesus says, don't do these terrible things the Old Testament told you. Don't do them. Don't commit adultery. Don't rip apart your marriages. Don't look at that pornography. That is adultery of the mind. Don't do these things. It's all summed up in this way: love your neighbor as yourself. Now I'm going to tell you how Christians will twist that. I'm going to tell you how our culture has crept into the church of God. How our culture has infected Christ's body. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, that means I need to be healthy in order to love my neighbors. Well, that sounds good, and it's not all wrong. How far do you take that? There are Christians who believe that they need to have so much self-help time, not my knee time. I need my hobbies, and I need my TV set, and I need my football programs, and I need my electronic games, and I need my nails done, and I need my hair done, and I need my shopping trips, and I need my me time. My kids are driving me nuts. I need my time. There's an element of it that's true. I am certainly not discounting the truth of here is Jesus, and he hears that John the Baptist was just beheaded, his cousin, his friend, someone that he loved, and it says that Jesus withdrew to a quiet and lonely place. Jesus needed to get out of the limelight of people and ministry. He needed a moment to breathe. Jesus needed some me time. I am not discounting that. But in our culture right now, that is placed so much on the altar, so much as, well, we need this, that we are out of balance. And I have to tell you, sin has a sneaky way of creeping in when we go out of balance. True confession here. I am not 100% opposed to alcohol. I'm not. Neither was Jesus, because he made wine. Anyway, but besides that, and my kids will tell you that every once in a while, not on an awfully regular basis, that I will enjoy a glass of wine or a shot of Sambuca. And there's even special occasions where Thomas and I will enjoy one together. I don't believe that that is sin, but how easily could that become sin? How easily could that become sin? But before you in your mind become too critical, managing your time. I really don't like sports. I think sitting watching a football game is like watching paint dry. Sorry, Dean. Sorry. I don't like hockey. I do not like hockey. I don't mind going with my sons to a hockey game because I'm spending time with them. But I'm like, what's going on out there? How easily could that time take over someone's life and be good, so important that the thing they talk about the most is hockey, football, see Satan, airplanes, gardening, whatever it might be. You see, Satan is wise, like a hungry lion seeking whom he may devour. Satan is sneaky and sly, taking the very things that are good and twisting them. A relationship between a man and a woman, those desires were given by God in the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve. Those are good. You know very well how they've been twisted in our world. And how you take what God has created that was good, not just good, but very good, and it gets twisted. Jesus says, don't do these bad things. Oh, I agree with that. We all agree with it. We're churchgoers. We agree with that. And then Jesus takes it a little further. I'll sum it up for you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, okay, I need to love myself first. You see how Satan could take even Jesus' own words and twist them. Satan did that to Jesus when he was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. Satan used God's own words to tempt Christ. We had a whole series on that right before Easter. Satan is sly and sneaky, and he will put into your lives and my life the very things that we think are okay and that we need. We read every time that we have communion that we are to examine ourselves. Well, you know what? That's part of knee time. That's part of prayer time. Lord, who am I? What do I need to do to serve you better? What should I prune out of my life? What should I plant more deeply in my life? Knee time, prayer time, spending intimate time with your Father in heaven and seeking the counsel of the Holy Spirit for what you need to cut out of your life. Because you know what? You need to be an individual who has some health in order to truly love somebody else. There is truth in that. Jesus withdrew from the craziness of the crowd when he heard that John the Baptist had been beheaded because his heart was breaking and needed a moment to breathe. And the crowds followed him. And then came the feeding of the 5,000. He went right back to work after he got his moment of breath. Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed and sweat drops of blood and cried out to his Father in heaven, pain and will be done but yours. If there's any way you could take this cup from me, if you could take this pain and suffering and the cross away, but not my will. He spent time with his Father in heaven in prayer and sought God's counsel and then got up and went to his sleeping disciples who had failed him, who were about to betray him and run away from him. and said, okay, it's time. The hour has come for the man, Son of Man to be lifted up. It's time for me to get back to my job. Love your neighbor as yourself. You do need to be healthy. You need to take the time, and maybe it is going out once in a while, and hopefully if you're one of the ladies, getting your hair done and your nails done. That's okay. Maybe it is watching a hockey game or a football game. That's okay. Maybe it's sitting down with your son and enjoying a little shot of Sambuca and watching the sunset together. It's okay. But where do you let the culture around you bring you down a road because of that? If that road brings you to a place where it's all about me, it's me time, then love is not the part that you're really focused on. It's the me. It's not the knee. It's not the relationship with your Father in heaven. And Scripture said that the time is at hand. The night is well spent. Day is almost here. I don't know if Jesus is coming back tomorrow. Perhaps for you and I, it'll be like that 20-year-old girl who had no concept in her mind that this past week, one of those nights, was going to be her last night on earth. You and I do not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. We look at the children in our midst and they have lives in front of them. We pray, but we do not know. We do not know about the busyness of the roads around us and what may happen when this service is done. My first challenge is going to be right now, are you ready to meet your Maker? Are you ready to stand before the judgment throne of God the Father Almighty, who sees every human being as fully sinful and not deserving of salvation unless they are washed in the blood of the Lamb? Because if you are not, my heart breaks for you and I am in fear for you. Because if your debt has not been paid, the time is short. Our Lord and Savior may come back in the twinkling of an eye, and it might be in the next few moments, or it could be 1,000 years from now. But there's 130 years. I have 20, 30 years best left of me, and maybe I've got 5 minutes left in me. I don't know, but I know that I am not going to live for 1,000 years. Are you ready? Are you ready in your walk with God to stand before Him? And if not, do not leave this place today without grabbing a hold of one of the elders, grabbing a hold of somebody you respect in our midst who has a walk with Jesus Christ and says, you know what? I want to pray. Can we pray together? Can we go off to a quiet little corner somewhere in the church and can we just pray together? I want to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Love your neighbor as yourself. How in the world can you introduce somebody to Jesus when you don't know Him yourself? How can you truly love somebody in the name of Christ when you have not loved Christ yourself? And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are a child of the Most High God, and you've been infected by the world, if you've been dirtied by humanism, by the culture that's around us, where you're starting to fall into this me-ism, I need my self-help, I need my me time, I need all this stuff, and you're forgetting about those around you who are hurting and broken and in need of a Savior, then it's time to fall on your knees, to examine yourself, as we read before communion time in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, to examine yourself and say, Lord, start pruning out of my life this stuff that's in the way, because I want to love those around me. I want to care about them because of the mercy shown to me by God the Father through Jesus. It would come into a room. I want to love them. It is my heart's desire, Paul says, that they would come into a relationship. So now, I'm going to end the message with a challenge that I am hoping I will be disciplined enough to present weekly. So you're going to get sick of hearing this. Put two people in your mind that you are going to pray for, intentionally pray for, that God would use you as an instrument to bring them into a closer walk with Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about two people every week, a new person. Put two people in your mind, and very short, next week and the week following and the week following, I'm going to remind this congregation, are you being intentional about caring about people, loving people in the name of Jesus Christ? And perhaps all it is that God's putting you on your knees, and you'll never have the opportunity to speak, and you'll never have an opportunity to write a note, and maybe it is simply you are called to be a prayer warrior with that person's name on your lips daily. But if you want to start this process of loving your neighbor as yourself, I don't think there's a day that goes by that you don't think about yourself at all. Let's be honest. So let's not have a day go by that you do not think about somebody else. And in an intentional way, and this part is not something in Scripture, it doesn't say, put two people in your mind and... This is a mechanical device that I know that I am presenting to you, but it fits with the theme of Scripture. Put two people in your mind that daily, that means every day, that daily you will pray for, that God will use you as an instrument to draw them into a deeper walk with Jesus Christ. This could be somebody who does not know Christ, or this could be somebody who, you know, they're struggling. They're struggling with their walk with Jesus Christ. And I'm going to clarify something. I'm not just talking about hurting people. Doris Hoyt. Those of you who knew Doris, what a saint. I could pray for her because her body was hurting. But I only hope someday to have a walk with Christ the way she did. That's not the person that I'm talking about you putting in your mind. Certainly pray for the people who are hurting in your life, and pray for people who have pains and aches and physical, emotional, spiritual. But Doris did not need me to pray that she have a deeper walk with Christ. I mean, we all need one, don't get me wrong. But Doris loved her Lord and was in His hands. And when she was dying, she was ready to meet her Maker, and she said, Lord, take me home. I'm talking about praying for somebody who needs a deeper walk with Jesus Christ. Are you being intentional in your mind, loving them, caring about them, carrying the coal, the burning coal from the altar to bring to their lips that they might be purified by the Holy Spirit? So the challenge is going to be for this church for a season. And this season might be a long one. Put two people on your heart, in your mind, that daily you will pray for. And moms and dads, grandparents, help your children to do this. You could certainly take a 5-year-old, a 4-year-old and say, who can you pray for? And lead them in that prayer. This is not just for us old people. Let's train our young people to think this way. Give each person what you owe them, taxes or honor or respect. Owe nobody anything except for love. But that love is God's love, not the definition of the world's love. It is not self-love. It's selfless love, like Jesus showed us on the cross. And here's where the message ends. When Jesus died on the cross, He had you in mind. And I don't mean that plural. I mean that singular. He knew your name when He hung on that cross. Do you have the name of two people in your heart and in your mind that you will be like Christ to them? The hour is short. Love your neighbor as yourself. Not this me time. Let's have knee time. Let's pray. Father, we look at your word and we realize how we fail you day by day. We read your word and we realize that we do not measure up. Oh, how wondrous it is to know that we don't need to, because Jesus did it for us. Oh, how grace abounds, how the mercy flows from your throne, how our lives are washed from darkness because of the blood of Christ to pure light. Lord, there are people in our lives who do not know or do not see clearly the light of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. We leave that fruitful side in your hands. Help us to be faithful servants. Help us to love the way you loved. And if you call us, Lord, to go, help us to be ready to go. If you call us, Lord, to give, help us to be ready to give. If you call us, Lord, to be silent, that's a rough one on me, God, then help me to be silent. And if you call us to speak out, then help us to speak out. For our desire is to be like Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.